Okay, if we can return to our seats, we're going to get started here on our Father's Day service. Before we get started, I do have one little point of humor I'd like to share with all of you, being it's Father's Day. If you want to find out how to catch a parked car, just go on Facebook and Brother Dan Powell shows us all how to do it. I figured since he put it on Facebook, it's public. So if you want a good, you want to know how to catch a parked car, just follow Brother Dan. He'll give you instructions on that. Happy Father's Day, Brother Dan.
Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Still standing, and if you could stand with me, we want to go before the Lord in prayer. But before that, happy Father's Day. If you're a father this morning, happy Father's Day. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're worshiping with us. If you're here to support your father or be here with him on Father's Day, we're glad you're here worshiping with us as well, and I'm sure it means something to your father. This morning, it's Father's Day, so we want to pray that God would touch the fathers this morning and every day, but it's Father's Day, so we can pray for a little extra touch today, right? And just that we have three awesome speakers that God has for us. Pastor Roy did an awesome job this morning in the adult Sunday school. And we just want to pray that God would have his way in all of our hearts. I would hate to come to a Mother's Day service because I'm a man and not be able to hear from God. I'd hate to come to a Father's Day service because I'm a youth or a child or a campus or a woman or an older person or whatever, and you say, oh, I can't hear from God. It's Father's Day. God has something for you this morning. I know he does. Just because we're honoring fathers doesn't mean that God doesn't want to speak to you. And so let's pray that God speaks to our hearts this morning and gives us special blessings to the fathers. And also, Ty Height put in a prayer request for his aunt, and she's in a lot of pain after surgery, so let's pray for her as well. So let's all gather together and ask God to speak into your heart this morning specifically. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you, God, for being our Father, God. A Father that loves us no matter what we do or where we go or how we do it. God, Lord, thank you for this service and what you're doing and the challenges you've given us already. And how are you going to speak to us this service, God? Speak into our hearts and minds. Anoint the men that are going to be speaking to the fathers today, God. God, help us to receive from you whatever it is you have. And God, I pray a blessing over the fathers, Lord, this morning. Lord, let them receive something special from you today, God. And touch Brother Height's aunt, God, that you would decrease her pain and heal her, God, in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated if you want. Thank you, everybody, once again. Fathers, supporting fathers. We love Father's Day. We're excited about Father's Day, and we're excited about fathers. But before we get into it, we do have a special announcement, a special offering that we're taking this year for fathers. Brother Jerry, can you come up and share your burden and tell us what this is all about?
Hello, everybody. Happy Father's Day. All the fathers in the house say, woo! Woo! I'm excited to see a bunch of new fathers of new babies, and I got a baby, and it's been crazy. It's awesome, and I'm glad to be a dad. Amen. I just want to talk to you really briefly about our Father's Day offering this year. The Men's Ministry Father's Day offering is a service offering that goes to fund service missions all across our globe. Service missions are special projects where apostolic men physically go and build orphanages, new missionary Bible schools, new missionary homes, and new churches. Sometimes these missions are rebuilding projects after a natural disaster. Sometimes it's other things like giving a missionary, an intern missionary, a car when they didn't qualify in other ways. Many countries across our globe have had men's ministries teams come and build, and this list of new projects has grown every single year. Here in North America, many church in a day projects have been boosted and helped with Father's Day offerings, such as the one we're taking right now. And hardworking men have taken that money and their time and engaged in building the kingdom of God in areas all across the United States and the world. A large portion of this offering goes to help our Wisconsin's men's ministry, which I am the director of, and to help fund our many men's events and projects all over the state, including our awesome men's camp coming up August 19th through 21st. Anybody been to men's camp? This offering goes to help fund that. We also have completed six very successful men's events this year in 2021 with hundreds of men attending all across our state. And we look forward to six more events still to come this year. None of this could be possible without sacrificial offering like the one we are about to have right now. I'm excited for the revival that I see among the men. I'm excited for what I see happening all across our state and in the world. These events are crucial to smaller congregations in our state who don't have large men's ministries. When we have a men's meeting in a section, they get to come out and fellowship with other men, and they realize that they're not alone out there. Amen. In the same way overseas, it's awesome to see whenever a group of apostolic men come in and they can build a church in areas where they didn't have the ability to do that. My goal this year is to continue to grow meeting the needs of men's ministry for our local pastors, our churches, and apostolic men here in Wisconsin. We are planning new and innovative ways of engaging men to help strengthen their personal relationships, recommit their hearts to deeper levels of discipleship, and encourage them to step into higher levels of leadership. And so this offering that we're taking today is a one-time offering. If you would like to just be a part of what we're doing in the men's ministry in our state, and help support these dozen or so different events that we have. I'm also looking at 2022 to have service missions here in Wisconsin. We'll be able to take some of these funds that we raise and put that into our own daughter works, our own North American mission works, and possibly other projects across our state. And so I'm just asking today if you would be willing to give in the offering today. You can mark it. You can mark it just a special offering or just offering today, or you can give out in a box. It's just a one-time offering. If you miss it today, it's not going to happen again. And if you do want to give at another time, you could just mark it Father's Day offering. But who would be willing to just say that they could commit to giving just $1 or $10 or $100 or $1,000 or $1 million? Do we have any million-dollar givers today? $1 million would be awesome. Our goal this year is $80,000 across the 80 or so churches in Wisconsin today. So every church in Wisconsin is having this offering happen right now. So would you just pray the offering is beneficial to our state and to our men? Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. And if you want to give on your way out, there's a plastic, a little plexiglass box on the kiosk. You can put some money in there. You can text to give. You can send it in the mail. We'll take it, no matter how you send it in. You want to shove money under the door? Not any door. I would make it by the office door because I can't promise if it's any door it's going to get there. A couple other things, too. Next Sunday, June 27th, we're having a special missionary service. Mark Harris, he's the missionary in India. He'll be presenting what's happening in India, and he'll be preaching to us in the Sunday morning service. So we're excited about that. So that leads us into our Father's Day service. Now, how many were here for Mother's Day about a month ago-ish? Yeah, a good deal of you. You'll notice there's no flowers around the front. It's been our experience over the years that it doesn't go over the same. Giving father's flowers. But instead, we have found, and I like this as well, we have found that gift cards to Ken's Meat Market seem to be fairly popular. So this morning, we're going to be giving away gift cards to Ken's Meat Market. We have, I believe it's 12 gift cards. But before we do, there was 3 or 4 years ago where Brother Blake George, one of our licensed ministers who's helping out in Stoughton, he gave this analogy, and I loved it, and I always wanted to give it again, and he's not here, so I can do it, but I did give him the credit. So back in the Old Testament, when they would bring their offerings, you'd bring your offerings, the priests would get to, like, stick this fork in there, and whatever the fork came out with, That's what they got to keep. That was the meat offering, as it were. They gave their meat offering to the priest. That's what they got to live off of, right? And while this is not for them to live off of, we do have two spiritual fathers in our building that we want to honor and give them a special gift card. So let's give a hand to Brother Roy, Senior Pastor Roy, and Bishop Grant. So they get the first amount of meat that comes off the stick. That's what that represents. So with that said, if I could have Sophie and Evelyn come up here, I need some help. There we go. Yep. This is the benefit of children. The older they are, the more work they can do for you. Oh, no, that's not. Man, you guys look beautiful today. Okay, so we're going to draw 12 names, but this time we're not going to have the men come up here because we don't need to pick out flowers, right? So what I'm going to have you do is you're just going to take one of these. When I read off a name, we're going to give it to them, okay? Now, I'm just going to read off a couple names. I just need to make sure. I heard a rumor. Let me just make sure. Phil Demas? Rick Wells? Oh, look at this. Phil Demas. Did you guys put only your names in this hat? Where's the real hat, Ricky? Where's the real... No, I'm just kidding. They told me they were going to do it, so I told them I'd mess with them, okay? So we're going to draw some names here. And when you get your name drawn, stand up. My daughters may not know every single name here in the church. One of them will run down a gift card for you, and we can all clap as we go, and then I'll read the next one. Okay, here we go. Here we go. First name. Alvin Huddleston. Where's that? Stand up. Oh, right there, sir. Go ahead, Evelyn. And if you haven't been to Ken's Meat Market, how many people have never heard of Ken's Meat Market? Some of you haven't. That's okay. It's on Monona Drive. I recommend the Burgundy Pepper Steak or the Cajun Chicken Breast. Those are the two best. They also have other stuff like salads and stuff, but it's a meat market, so no comment. Okay, the next name is Brother Claude Abga. Awesome. Sophie's got that one. The next name, Brother Spencer Hicks. Right there. Go get him. Spencer Hicks has been working on a connection group for people that play board games, so I think the next group may have stakes. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. The next name is Brother Roy Copper. Oh, right there in the back. You don't have to stand, sir. We see you. Right there in the back. Over there. He's raising his hand. See him? All right. Brother Jim Degg. Oh, he's in the back. Can you see him there raising his hand? Super excited. Go all the way to the back door. Brother Craig will help point you where he's at. See Brother Craig standing there? There we go. All right. All right. Brother Kelvin Wells. Oh, there he is. Right there. Six more to go. This is good. Okay. Brother John Grant. Johnny. He's right there.
Up against the wall right there.
With the baby, see? Go get him. Oh, Brother Jerry Simmons, look at this. Got to give him that offering. Look at that. Ready? Brad Topp. You girls are doing such a good job. Okay. Oh, you got yours already. Okay, Tom Nelson.
See, he's standing up right there.
Okay, Brother Daniel Capaccio. Whoa, he's right there, standing up right there. See him? Awesome.
And we have one more, so we better
dig to the bottom, okay? Dig to the bottom. Don't look. There you go. You got it. Okay. Let's see what it says here. Brother Rob Osborne. Right there. Oh, man. Congratulations, Rob. Oh, he's standing right there. There you go. With the beautiful little girl. Thank you. You did a great job. You can go sit down. Sova, you can sit down. For those of you that won, enjoy your meat and your Father's Day. For those of you that didn't, you can still enjoy your Father's Day. The drawing doesn't matter. So that said, we handed out flowers last time for the ladies, and we were really struggling. What do you have men grab? What could we have the children come up and bring their fathers for Father's Day? And so we settled on duct tape. Who can't use duct tape for something, right? You got a pink bike to fix? Pink duct tape. Yellow something? Goalpost? Yellow duct tape. Pipe? Blue duct tape. Whatever you need, the duct tape can help you. Am I right, Pastor Roy? Yep. That's half of plumbing school, isn't it? All of plumbing school, duct tape. So what we want to do is this. I'm going to set these on the ground. And if you are a child that is, and I say child, I'm sorry if that offends you, you don't have to come down. If you're 17 years or younger, so if you're 17, you can come down. I want you to stand up. Don't go anywhere. Stand up. If you're 17 years or younger, stand up. And if you're too young to come down by yourself, have an adult come with you. What I want you to do, if your father's here, I want you to come down, grab a roll of duct tape for your dad, whatever color you want or think he might want, it's totally up to you, and bring one to your father, okay? And give him a big hug and kiss. Go. I'm watching for that hug and kiss, Nolan. Whatever color you want to give your dad. Whatever color. Orange. All right. This is so much fun. I love the chaos. Chaos is good. Okay, so now what I want to do is this. If you are a father who's here, and obviously you have kids that aren't young, right? If you're a father, can I have some of you youth help me out here, Brother Roman? All four of you. Awesome. Grab one of these. Grab one of these bins. Two more guys right here. Can you two help me? Grab a bin here. The one at the end for you, Roman. Okay, stand right here. If you're a father who did not start with a roll of duct tape, can you raise your hand? Okay, I want you to walk around and make sure these guys get rolls of duct tape, okay? This is awesome. Pastor Roy's up here. Bishop's up here. If you're a dad, you got to get a roll of duct tape. Don't forget Brother Wallace. And you know what? You know what? If you have more than one kid, grab an extra roll. That's okay, too. We're doing good. We're doing good on duct tape rolls. So on your way back through, Roman, get Brother Ben with an extra one. And Brother Dan and Brother Kerry. There we go. Blue and orange. Oh, there you go. Yeah, you almost missed out. All right, keep your hands up if you haven't got one yet, fathers. Josh, you and I made a haul today. It's a good day. I was really anticipating like three shades of pink and then a yellow, but this is pretty good. Okay, fathers, did everybody get a roll of duct tape? Did anybody with more than a couple kids only get one? You want to grab another one? You got one for Bishop? You getting one for your dad, Brother Roy? Get one for your dad, Brother Roy? Here we go. We'll get one for Bishop here. I was hoping you were going to go pink, but blue works too. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, guys, you can start working your way to the front as long as no one's got their hands up. Thank you so much for your help. Just set them right up here. You guys did great. Give them a hand. No. Okay. Now, because I'm passionate about this, I'm going to say you're a father. If you're a father, but the baby has not been born yet. Are you here? Anybody here? You're gonna start that right here in church? That's, Mom and Dad, do you know about this? No? Okay. I'll call you out in church. It's just easy for me. Okay, anybody else? We'll have a couple roles here. You come find me after church because I don't believe that fatherhood starts the day the baby starts breathing in the real world. But it starts earlier on, and you should be acting that way with your wife and your soon-to-be actual mother, all right? So, this morning I'm really excited. I'm really excited about Father's Day, and part of it is because of the group of people that we have speaking. Because when I sat down with Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, we talked through who do we want to speak for Father's Day. Give them all a couple minutes and let them share what's on their heart, right? Well, before I introduce them and introduce these men and these fathers, I want to say that the thing that fatherhood has done for me has pointed out how far short I come, right? And I mean that honestly. Because you think that, you know, I've got some things together, I've figured some things out, but then when other individuals are in your life vying for your time and your energy and your attention and your money, right, you start to realize how responsible you might or might not be, right? You start to realize some of the flaws that you have in your life. And what that caused me to do was to realize that I needed God more than I thought I did. When I overreact on my children, I realize, oh, like Pastor Roy was talking about this morning, the signs of a carnally minded Christian. When I overreact on my children, it's like, there's something not right in here I got to work on. And I got to repent tomorrow or today or right now, right? And so I say that to say, as a father, I'm always trying to learn. And I'm probably always failing. But I'm always trying to move forward. I'm trying to fail fast. I'm trying to move forward fast. And so I talked to some of these guys, and they're like, man, you know, why are you having me speak? And I said, I want you to be yourself. I want you to be real. Nobody's perfect. God does not expect perfection. God expects us to follow him. God expects us to try to get closer to him. That's what he wants from us, to be closer to him. He doesn't care if there's imperfections. He will work that through if we're constantly working closer to him. And so this morning, our first speaker that we have, I'm really excited about. He's a friend of mine, and he's an awesome dad, and a great business owner, and a good husband. And so Brother Josh, can everybody give Brother Josh Stone a good hand? Come up here, Brother Josh. This is an awesome man, and God speaks to him, and it's going to be really exciting to hear what God has put on his heart. So Brother Josh, say what God has for you.
Good morning. You know, for a long time, I've dreamed of this day almost, like being in front of a church and giving a message. And until you actually get up here, it's like, man, this is a big deal. But first of all, happy Father's Day to everybody. Whether you're a dad, you had a dad, I mean, every one of you had a dad at some point, you know. So anyway, I'm going to be brief this morning. I want to share a little story. When I was around 10, about five or six of my buddies and I, we decided that we were going to build a fort. And this fort was made out of sticks and basically everything that you could find in the woods, we decided we were going to put this fort together with. And we had little windows in, and I mean, we made this thing pretty big. I mean, I'd say probably about the size of these stairs right here. And in the middle of this fort, we had a nice little spot for a fire, and we built this thing up. And on the top, we made a hole in the top. You know, the fire had to be able to escape, right? And we did what, you know, responsible young gentlemen did, and we dug a little trench around where the fire was at, and or where it was going to be. And we made these little, like, actually, we failed completely to make some benches. I remember trying, but it didn't really work. So we tried to find, like, stumps or rocks or something to sit on. And I don't remember which one of my friends had the match or the lighter, but we got this fire to start, right? So we got this fire right in the middle of this hut, and we're all kind of sitting around, and I don't know what we're going to do next. But anyway, on this fort to kind of enclose it all, we had pine needles everywhere. Like, basically, we had the whole thing covered. Like, it looked like an Indian hut, if you will. So we're in a forest covered with pine needles. I mean, everywhere. And, you know, we lit this fire up, and, you know, we're all sitting there, and slowly and slowly it just kind of spread, you know, throughout everything. So, I mean, you can imagine, like, what kids would, like, five or six guys would do to try to put this fire out. I mean, you can only imagine. So there we're all standing there. That didn't work. And then and then we decide that we're going to try to smother it, right? We're going to smother it with more pine needles and more things that we find, you know. And needless to say, like, it just was an epic failure. So once it got a little out of hand, we all hopped on our bikes and we went to a restaurant and decided to eat lunch. It was a good time. One of the guys that was with me, his parents owned the restaurant in town, and his mom made us lunch, and we just kept our mouths shut. Like, it was bad news. And needless to say, that 3 acres, I think, all went down. And the reason I'm telling you this is because, for one, my fatherly figure never knew about this. Never. Until today. So... never knew. And you know what? I'm sure that every one of us has done something similar, right? I'm sure, you know, Peter, I'm sure you burned down a couple forests, right? You know, definitely. Yeah. Pastor Roy, I'm sure you've had your fair share. I mean, and I can promise you this, even knowing, I guarantee my grandfather, who has been my father my whole life, still loves me, you know, no matter what we do. So, first of all, I just want to say, Grandpa, happy Father's Day. Thank you for coming. And before I dive into the Word, I just want to say that how much I appreciate you in my life. Since day one, this man has prayed for me. He's showed me the Word. We went to Washington, D.C., stand in the gap, and prayed with millions of men. It was awesome. But anyway, I told myself I wasn't going to cry. But anyway, I'm sure that a lot of you can relate to not having the real biological father in your life. Like, lots of us. I can. Never met my real dad in person. And my grandfather stepped up to the plate. Many of you are step-parents. Many of you have had, you know, somebody in your life that wasn't your biological father or mother. And maybe you were like me, where you did have a single mom who the majority of her life had to step into that fatherly role. And even then, even those deserve a happy Father's Day. I mean, they really do. And anyway, if you would turn with me to open your Bibles, we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And when I was preparing for this message, like, this is like the only chapter in the Bible that kept coming to mind. And honestly, I don't think I'd ever read it before. I mean, I went through this several times, and you could probably make 3 or 4 sermons on this entire chapter. It talks about a lot of different things. But anyway, if you wouldn't mind, turn to verses 13 through 16. And if I would put a title on this message, I would probably name it Traditions, and I'll explain why. But if you follow me with 13, 1 second, getting there. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by our word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. So what this tells me as I'm reading through it is God chose us. Like, we're not worthy of God. We fail every day. Every day there's something I can look back on and be like, man, why did I say that? Why did I think that? You know, there's nothing about me that's perfectly holy anytime, anywhere. So in a way, like me as a stepfather, God is a stepfather to all of us. He has taken on everything about me, my flaws, everything about you. No matter what it is that you've done in your life, you cannot make God stop loving you. So even if you burn down a forest, you know, you repent and he forgave you before you repented, but, you know, it makes it whole when you repent. And God is going to be there always and forever, no matter what it is that you do. And so if you dive more into what we just read there, he also talks about traditions. And traditions are something that, so in Thessalonians, just a quick run through, like they're talking, Peter, talking to the church about old traditions and also new traditions. And ultimately, that's something that happens as soon as you step foot in church. As soon as you give yourself to God, from there forward, you're going to start a new tradition. You know, since I stepped foot in the church, my life is completely different, you know, from 5 years ago. And I'm not trying to get into my personal testimony, but now I could say maybe a handful of times I've missed Sunday, like church. That is a new tradition in my family. We're going to church Sunday. We're going to church Wednesday. When the church doors are open, I want to be here. Like, that's how it is. Sure, we have some things come up, but ultimately, we want to try to make that a tradition. And there's many other traditions. My wife and I both quit smoking right after we joined the church. We quit drinking. Not that we were like heavy drinkers, but you know, every once in a while, you know, we had many things that were now our old traditions that we went away with, and now we have these new traditions. We have new values and new beliefs going forward. Our daughters all wear dresses and skirts. They don't cut their hair. We try not to ever cut hair. And it's just part of our holiness as Christians and how it is that we have now made our new tradition, okay? Everybody's going to have their tradition on what it is that they're going to have, and it changes the second you meet God. So what I'm going to challenge you today, church, is I want today to be the day that you have the opportunity to make a new tradition, okay? You have amazing elders. You have amazing people in this church that can definitely guide you to where it is that you need to go with your traditions. And the hardest part is keeping them as often as you can. But if you don't, it's okay. You know, if you fall, we're all going to fall short of the glory of God, you know. It's okay. But then you pick yourself up and you just do it again. So one of the things that I'm going to be working on, just to kind of share a little bit of personal, is I'm going to be working on at-home Bible studies with the kids. My wife and I have attempted to talk about this since we started coming to church. But I tell you what, that is like one of the hardest things to like get on a regular schedule on. And maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But I all right, thank you. But it's one of those things that has to happen. If I expect my children to go by my word, or anybody, and they, and I portray myself as a Christian and a godly man of some sort, then I need to make sure that I back that up with my traditions. And last point on this on this book of Thessalonians, and I'll be fast. I know I'm in that number, but so just real quick on Thessalonians, the main theme of this chapter, they actually talk about the man of lawlessness and the Antichrist. And I know you're like, how does this tie in? Well, as you can see, our traditions over just the United States or this world are drastically changing. You don't have to be, you know, eyes wide open to see it. You can keep your eyes down and you can see it. You can walk downtown Madison and see things are changing tradition-wise. And all that is something that we have to try to slow down, church. The Bible tells us right now, and we just talked about this at the men's event, but the Bible tells us that things are going to get bad. Like, we're going to have all the stuff that's going on right now. We got anything you can imagine. We got, you know, sex. We got drugs. We got, it's okay. It's all this. It's all, the media says it's great, you know, whatever. You can't watch a cartoon without some swear words in it now. And it's our job as Christians to set some traditions that hold true with our loved ones. And we gotta postpone this as long as we can. Otherwise, God, what happens is you're going to lose someone along the way. Like, you're going to lose your daughter, your son, if you don't set those traditions hard. And you can't rely on anything with the world to help you with that. You're on your own, and you're on your own with this family, this entire family, everybody here. Everyone in here can be your father. It really can happen, and we need to stand together as a church. And the last thing about this is, if you believe everything that this Bible talks about, and if you believe so wholeheartedly about this and your salvation, then you need to tell people. You have to open your mouth, and you have to share it. Every one of my workers knows exactly how I stand, and every customer that I come in contact with has to know. Like, I might not stand there and preach to them, but you got to open up and you got to let them know where you stand. Nobody should have to question your values as a human being. They should know. We should shine Jesus through us. So last thing is let's just not be passive Christians and allow our children to do the wrong things. They are going to mess up, but we're going to pick them back up. That's all I got. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Brother Josh. Man, you could pack a lot of smart wisdom and godly wisdom into 15 minutes. Thank you, brother. Thank you for sharing. And more importantly, though, yes, you shared, but thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for being yourself and being true. We appreciate that. I think that's a great example we all need to do, and it's something I try to do. Our next speaker I'm really excited about. When this gentleman started coming to our church, the things that I thought when I saw him was, man, this is a good-looking guy. He's super athletic. He could play most sports and was not super humble when he beat you, because I like to talk smack too. He had a son and everything was great. And I'd like to say that I respect that about this man, and I do. But what I respect most about J. Henry was the humility with which he chose to father, given the circumstances of his life. And man, if you can come up here, let's give J. Henry a hand. I respect you, brother, and I don't know how you do it, but God loves you and I love you.
I praise the Lord, church. How's everyone doing? Oh, Lord, where do I start? Isn't it awesome to be in the house of the Lord? First off, I want to give honor to Pastor Peter and the leadership staff here for giving me the opportunity to speak in front of you all. I don't take this lightly. I'm truly thankful for being able to share my story with you guys tonight, this morning, this afternoon. I'm also thankful for my wonderful wife that I brought from Texas all the way out to Wisconsin. She's a godly influence in my life, and thank you for putting up with me and JJ. We're going on 2 months this upcoming Thursday. So, however, before I get into my message, I feel the need to say this. What an accomplishment yesterday on the latest federal holiday, Juneteenth Day. Juneteenth is now an annual holiday observing the end of slavery in the U.S., which marks the day when news of emancipation reached people in the former Confederacy in Galveston, Texas. The Emancipation Proclamation went into effect on January 1, 1863. However, it wasn't until 2 years later when Union troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, where approximately 250,000 enslaved blacks were freed. This day was on June 19, 1865, which became the basis of the name Juneteenth. I thank the Lord, and I pray that we all can continue walking in our freedom, regardless of our skin color. Because you know what? We all serve one Lord. That man up there, he does not discriminate. Jesus. I want to start off sharing some statistics from the U.S. Department of Justice accounting for children from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway youths are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children that display behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions are from fatherless homes. 75% of young patients in substance abuse centers are from fatherless homes. And 75% of rapists motivated by displaced anger are from fatherless homes. Fathers, we got to do a better job out here. Our time is right now to make the difference in our families, to lead our homes in a godly manner. So my story, I'm not sure if you guys all know, but I am from upstate New York, small town, Utica, New York, population of around 60,000. I was raised by my mom. My mom and my dad, they split up when I was 2 years old. When I was five, my mom, she got into a relationship with a male. I was five, and he had a different skin complexion than myself. He was a Caucasian white male. Unfortunately, them two split up when I was 18 years old. However, the influence that he's played in my life, I can't even imagine not thinking about it. He's done so much for me. Even though growing up, he did not go to church, really wasn't a spiritual influence. Past year or so, he's finally changed. I actually have been able to have godly conversations with him, and I'm truly thankful for him. I became a father on January 23rd, 2013, to my son, JJ. JJ, stand up. He has been such a blessing to me. At that moment when he was born, I made a commitment with the Lord that I would raise him as a God-fearing young man. Even when I thought through my divorce, regardless of the outcome, I had my mind made up that I would still raise him up knowing who Jesus was. You single men,
I was there. I went through the ups and the downs. It was a cycle. I didn't know what to do, but I knew that this was my home. I needed to be here every Sunday, Wednesday. And if it wasn't for God, I don't know where I would have been. And I am so thankful for the spiritual leaders here for keeping me in prayer. Pastor Hawk, I know he's not here. He's my spiritual mentor, but I am so thankful for you guys. The Bible calls Christian fathers to a different standard. Our kids are not property to own, but image bearers of God who need to be trained. Dads, we are called to provide a proper nurturing environment where our kids can grow up to love and serve the Lord. From a biblical perspective, God had confidence in Abraham. If you guys go with me in Genesis 18 and 19. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. God put a call in Abraham's life because he believed in Abraham. Church, have you ever noticed that on Mother's Day, we tell mothers how great they are. But on Father's Day, we tell fathers what they need to do to be great. There's an improvement factor. It's almost as if a mother automatically is great while a father must continually work at it. And you know what? That places tremendous responsibility on us fathers. We are the provider. The father is charged with providing for his family. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A father's responsibility is not only just to go to work and provide for the family. Society somewhat teaches us this. Yet we need to spend time with family as well, as time is the common denominator we are all battling against. Age. Think about my son JJ. I still remember when he was in diapers, when he was born. And now this week he's getting ready to go to junior camp as he's 8 years old. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So though we often use these verses as instructions to parents, however, in the society of that day, these instructions were given to men in general and fathers in particular. It was the priest's duty to take the people before God. Men, it is your responsibility to take your families before God. Men have a great responsibility to play in society, and that role can be handled only if they have continued personal relationship with the Lord. And as I close, the best father or the best man is the one who knows God as his heavenly Father. Let's commit ourselves to that task today. Thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Brother Jay, for sharing your heart. And thank you for being an example. And as long as you keep that same mindset with your son, with your wife, it's going to be a good marriage, okay? Awesome. The last speaker we have, I don't know if this gentleman knows this, but I think he taught me how to drive a stick. He may not know this. We used to drive to school together, and their children and our children, we'd all pile into the cars together. And I don't know, my parents had a van. We'd go in there, but they didn't have a van, and so they had a Jaguar, right, that he had worked up, and it went fast. And we would take turns sitting up front with this guy. Because you'd get three in the back. We had three. They had three. And we'd sit in the car. I hope I'm not ratting you out here, Brother Johnny. But we'd sit in the car, and he would teach me and my sisters how to drive a stick. He'd be like, okay, the clutch is in, go. And we'd be like second gear and third gear. We'd be moving it. And it was so much fun. So I drive a stick today because of how much fun driving a stick is. And my sisters, we still talk about it today. Yeah, I remember when Brother Johnny used to let us drive his stick. Like this, my parents were like, he was letting you drive. No, he had the clutch and the. But what I learned from Brother Johnny, and I'm so excited to have him up here. This man knows everything about everything, and I don't mean that sarcastically. I don't mean that like he knows so much, and I've learned so much from Brother Johnny, whether it's about an engine or a fort or something from God. Brother Johnny, can you come up here and just share what God has on your heart? Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Brother Johnny.
Thank you. Well, happy Dad's Day, right? So I brought my duct tape with me because I don't know if you know this. There's a fun fact about duct tape. It's not just per chance that it's this way. So when you're fixing all the bikes and the broken down things, the duct tape can just be carried along. See? It's scientifically made so you can just not be without it. Okay? Because you need it. This seat's going to rip. They're going to break it. I'm going to talk about dads here for a minute quick. A dad's responsibility, a dad and a father, there's two different definitions to that. So a dad takes care of all the physical stuff. Food, fixes the bikes, blows up the tires, explains to them why can't take the neighbor's boy's bike and bring it in the garage and work on it. Stuff like that, because that just happens when you're raising three boys. We raised three boys. So it was a very interesting time. We started out when we were basically kids. We ask ourselves periodically, my wife and I, what were we thinking? What in the world were we thinking? We were kids, and then we had kids. So I approached the beginning raising my boys, I approached raising them, providing for them, making sure everything was good, and making sure the bikes were the right colors and the tires were the right colors. We had white tires and we had all different colors of things. Dads just covered that stuff. Then I realized they weren't getting what they really needed. So why not? Okay, that's because I left the father part out of the equation. And that's explaining why certain things are certain ways. So once I figured out that I could, if I explained to them, this is why. And then there's always the question, yeah, but Dad, last week we saw you. And it's like, well, yes, I'm a human. So sometimes you do things that literally make me explode. They just do. Because I'm a dad, I'm trying to be a father, but the dad knows I have to fix what you just exploded. The father in me says I should be soft and I should explain to you why you don't explode things like that. And you have to merge the two together. So we finally figured out how to merge the two together, and my wife and I got on the same page, because that helps too, by the way. Because if you're always somewhere else and she's, you're always trying to go a different way and I feel that it's this way and she feels that it's that way, then there's just no harmony. And you can't have a successful family if there's no harmony in the family. It's not going to happen. Both of you need to be there. Both of you need to be. The first conversation is between husband and wife. The second one involves the child or the kids. Because if you're not on the same page, good luck. It's just not going to happen. So we finally got all on the same page. We got all our kids. I learned that just being a dad, I thought that if I just provided all the things my kids wanted physically, everything would be good. No. That's not That's not even reality. I mean, it just isn't. You know it is. A lot of you have raised kids. A lot of you are raising kids now. The physical providing part, that's just something you do. I mean, you let's just face it. You go get a dog. You bring him into the house. What do you leave him without food? No, you feed him. So it's just a basic thing. And then if he starts to be naughty, then you train him. Well, I have three boys. My wife and I have three boys, and most all of you know our three boys. So there was some training. There is. There was. My scripture is Proverbs 22:6. It says, raise up a child? No. It says, train up a child. Because natural instinct says, my child's not going to go hungry. But your natural instinct doesn't say, I got to teach my son not to go over to the neighbor's house and pick on their dog or whatever, you know. That's not a natural thing. That's just something that we take our Bible, we read through it, we know who we are, we know who we're supposed to be. We try to transfer that to our children. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I have them almost raised. I have them almost trained. It's taken still a little time. I still get videos of 6-mile wheelies going down the highway. Yep, I do. Right, and when they come in, I don't have to call Carl and say, Carl, what is this? I know exactly where the video came from. And it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Progressive is not on his in policy, so they won't be calling him, wondering what he's doing. We just went on vacation. We dropped off Carl in Montana, started church. Training. It's all training. And on top of that, it never stops. It doesn't stop. So just because your child is grown up and has children, your training never stops. This is my trainer right here, Bishop. Oh, yeah. Well, we were under a pretty rigorous training program. We were. But look, I made it. It's still good. It's still good. Here's my partner in training, my brother Roy. So let's go back to our scripture. What does it say? Throw it back up there again. It says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old. Is it a guarantee? I don't know. I kind of read some thoughts on this, and they said, well, you know, it's not really a guarantee, you know, because it doesn't really happen. Well, there's one. Here's two. There's three, and his son, four generations. So, you can't prove it by me that it's not a guarantee. So, I just go by that. When he is old, he will not. Who did this come from? This came from heaven. We believe everything else. Why not this? Why do we take an excuse on this? Just in case my child doesn't do what I think he should be doing and he gets out in left field, it happens. I mean, it's no secret. I have one son who we left in Montana to raise a church who has tattoos literally from here to there. He made his little wanderings about. But when he is old, he will not. It doesn't say maybe. Will not depart from it. So I Peter told me that if everybody went over, I had to cut really short. So I don't want to take too much time, but I just want you to know when you're raising your children, there is such a reward when you get older. the fathering and the dad part, even though they're technically defined differently, is so rewarding. Absolutely so rewarding. And I don't know if you know this or not, I'm going to tell a little story here quick. I had a dealing with one of the young men in the church, and he'll know who I'm talking about pretty much right away. I asked him his advice on something, and he gave it to me. Sincere advice. Well, the old man in me, I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I went and did what I wanted to do. And I paid zero attention, basically, to the young man's advice. Well, it cost me. Not only in time, but it actually cost me physically money. I had to go to this young man and tell him, I'm sorry. I have not let you grow up. In my mind, you're still this little kid because I don't want to get older. I don't. My hair is falling out. I go out in the sun. I used to run around in the sun all day long. My hair just got white. Now my scalp peels. Totally different story. So part of being a father, I mean, this young man's not my son. He's not my blood son. But I consider him one of my kids. I watched him grow up. Caleb told me exactly what was going to happen if I bought this particular diesel truck. And most of you know I just spent 2 days driving my new truck out to South Dakota to pick up the truck that he told me not to buy.
It was a Ford. It was a Ford, yes. But see, the thing is when I was a little younger, the Fords were the trucks to buy. They were. And then I decided, hey, you know what? What worked really super good when I was younger, I'm just going to go with it. Even though someone more knowledgeable, younger, who I never allowed to grow up, knew better. So thank you, Caleb. I now have the truck I'm supposed to have. Ironically enough, it broke down in South Dakota. In that town, there was one used truck. And that's the one that's parked in the parking lot. One. And it happened to be the exact same thing that he told me to begin with that I needed to buy. Go figure that out, huh? I mean, it even gets better. I thought, well, you know, this is just a coincidence. So the day before, I talked to my dad, and Dad said, well, I'm going to help you pray about this. There was no trucks. My son, Carl, who I was taking to Montana, we had looked. There was nothing. Overnight, this truck appeared. It's like, wow, cool. Jerry Simmons sent me a link. He's like, hey, I think this one shows up. Same truck. Like, okay, is this the right truck, God? I don't want to make this dumb mistake again. I don't want to have to go back to another Caleb or somebody and go, hey, really messed up again. Because, you know, you do. Nobody's perfect. So every single time I had a question, I'm standing in the dealer with my son, Carl, who's also my friend. And he says, well, Dad, what do you think? You know, we're talking about this truck. He's like, I was like, well, son, I don't know. I don't want to make the same mistake I made before. So I don't know if this is the right truck or not. Carl's phone rings. He goes walking outside. He comes back in. He says, Dad, I got to go. What do you mean you got to go? Well, Cecily locked herself out of the camper. The kids are in there. They're screaming, I got to go. I'm like, okay. Well, he looks at me. He goes, what are you going to do? I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need a truck, and this is like the only truck. And he goes, all right, bye. Walks out. We're in South Dakota. Walks out, gets in his truck, takes off.
Now I'm standing there. I'm like, no, I don't have a ride. So this is really looking like the right truck. Right? It's like, okay, Lord, you don't need to be that dramatic. Because my heart sank when he walked out and left. Because, so anyways, raising your children versus training your children, if we can get past ourselves. I was my biggest enemy raising my boys because I was raising them. When I finally figured out that I needed to be training them, it all got easier. Because then someone who knows all about training, we all know this, Bishop, now what he says to me makes sense. It's like, okay, so now not being able to have that, there's not a just because involved. This is why we don't. So if we can get past ourselves, I mean, I don't want to beat up any dads or any fathers, but you can move yourself. If you're not in that particular vain per se in life, you can move yourself there. It's really easy. There's a guidebook, 66 books, as a matter of fact. There is literally 66 books. And even something that doesn't seem like it's remotely involved in the subject that you're dealing with really might be involved. So all the times I worked on my anger, did that have anything to do with him, the chain coming off his bike? No, but everything to do with my response to fixing the chain coming off the bike and his perception of who Dad really was. So I let my boys figure out that I was a human. I watched them watch me solve my problems. And now today, thankfully, they're doing it the same way. And little Emmett is sitting somewhere in here. You just come over to me earlier. He's probably eating. Emmett eats a lot. I don't know if you noticed. Emmett's not a small boy. So I think, I mean, I see Emmett over here, and then I see Bishop, and I think our little guy takes a little bit more after Bishop. Well, it's not bad. He's just going to be like healthy. Right? I think so. Anyways, the family is what I'm trying to say is sum it up a little bit here is even if you started out with the wrong perspective on raising your children, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there at all. As a matter of fact, it may do you wonders to let your children see that you saw something wrong and you fixed it. Because they will do the same thing.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. I still don't think I've ever gone as fast as you have on Highway T. I try. I just can't get it. They recently repaved it, though, so I got a better shot. Thank you. There's so many awesome fathers in this church. There's so many awesome. And so many of you could come up and share some awesome wisdom. But I just want to give a hand to Brother Josh and Brother Jay and Brother Johnny for what they shared this morning. Thank you, brothers. Let's give them a hand. You guys did an awesome job. I could tell that God is speaking to you. not be, and if you could remain standing, I almost caught you, and stand with me if you haven't. I can tell that God is speaking to you not because you wore a tie, not because you have a nice haircut, not because your life is perfect, but I can tell God is speaking to you because your life is not perfect, because you have a heart for God and you're trying to get closer to God. Whatever the stage is, whether you have a young child, or 8 years old now, man, that's not as young. Young child and a young marriage, or many children, right, Brother Josh? Or Brother Johnny, you got grandkids now, fourth generation, right? They're still pursuing God. If I could have every father in this building, if you are a father biologically, if you play the role of a father as a man, grandfather, could you come to the front? Come to the front. Come down to this area. Kind of get in close. If that's not something you're comfortable doing, you can kind of stay off to the side. Come up to the front. Fathers, come on up. I want to close this out. We're not going to have a big altar call, but I want to, as men, as fathers, I want us to pray together. And I want to just maybe give you one last thought to tie a ribbon on everything these men have told us this morning. Men, a lot of times, I think that we think that God is waiting for us. I think that we think that God is waiting for us to get that promotion, to get that position, to have that perfect child, to make that money, to have our marriage be perfect. Then I will earn God's love. Then I will earn God's respect. Then God's grace can make sense. Because as men, as providers, we think in terms of work. I do and I get. I do and I get. It's a paycheck, right? God doesn't work that way, men. Today, right now, I don't care the worst thing you did in your life, and if it was 3 minutes ago, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you right where you're at, in spite of all the failures, because of all the failures, in the midst of all the failures. God loves you. He's not waiting for you to do anything to earn this love. He's not waiting for you to do anything to earn his respect and his mercy and his grace. He's not waiting. It's literally right here. And so if he's not waiting and it's already here, why do we so often feel like it's not? Because we can't accept it. Because we can't accept it. Our whole theme for Mother's Day and Father's Day is closer. It started at the beginning of the year with Pastor Roy talking about connection. And it just feels like that's the theme that keeps perpetuating through all the things we have going on. And so, man, I want to pray this morning. If you want to pray with the person next to you, you're welcome to. But I want to pray this morning that God opens our eyes, takes the scales off our eyes of what we see about ourselves, and instead shows us as fathers what he thinks of us. If you're standing back there and you're not a father, you can pray the same prayer. If you're somebody who maybe they're, you know, Brother Jay, thank you for reading all the statistics. If you're somebody that maybe grew up in a home without a father, maybe they were there physically but not emotionally or spiritually. Maybe they weren't there physically. It's okay. You have a heavenly father who loves you and cares about you. Maybe you say, I don't like Father's Day because my father wasn't a father to me. Well, let's start by honoring God and see where that goes, right? So this morning, we're going to pray together that God helps us to see ourselves as men the way God sees us. Not as the way society sees us, not as the way everything out there sees us, not as the way we see ourselves, but as the way God sees us. Can we do that, men? So let's start there. Let's start with this prayer. And if you're out there, help us pray for the fathers, but also pray for yourself. Women, young people, campus, elderly people, doesn't matter. Let's have this prayer. Pray with me, men. God, I thank you so much for being my father. Thank you for loving me when I don't deserve it. God, for loving me though, God, with all my sins and all my past, whether they were 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago, God. God,
God, help me to see myself, Lord, the way you see me. Help me to act based on the way you see me, not because I've earned your righteousness or your grace or your mercy, God. Not because I've earned your love, God. God, Lord, I pray over every father in this building. God, I pray that you would lift, God, whatever is causing their eyes not to see how you think about them, God. God, we pray that you lift that off of them, God. Let them see you and how you love them right now. How you don't wait for them, God, Lord, to earn it. How you don't wait for them, God, to deserve it. How you don't wait for them, God, to do enough, God, but you are loving them right now in the midst of whatever is going on in their life. Whether they were brought up right or wrong or indifferent, it doesn't matter, God, but that you love them. God, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, just that you would reach into their hearts, God. Let them feel a love this morning like they've never felt. Let them feel a grace like they've never felt, God. God, we accept your righteousness this morning, God. We accept your grace and your mercy. God, I accept your love in my life. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know how it makes sense, God, but I accept it. God, Lord, and we pray for every person in this building, Lord. Lord, we just want to be closer to you. God, we want to be closer to you, God. Show me the things in my heart that are keeping me from you. Show me the things and the thoughts and the motives and the intents and the desires of my heart that are keeping me from you, God. Give me direction, God, every day. I want to be your child. Treat me like your child, Father. Thank you, Jesus. One of the hardest things for me in my short life, you've been married 40 years. I turned 40 this year, Brother Roy. I'm only 40 years old and I feel so old. One of the hardest things is for me to not think about myself the way that I think about myself, but to think about myself the way God does. Because every day I wake up and I fail. And you're right, Brother Jay, which we got to be great. We got to work at being greater. And God's like, just accept my love today. Live like I love you. Don't live like you're trying to earn my love. Families. Or sorry, before families. Men. Everything every one of these guys shared with us was so awesome. Maybe you didn't take notes. I wasn't taking notes. Maybe you want to go back and listen to this one at a time. And just grab a nugget or two out of there and say, like, Brother Josh, I'm going to make a new tradition for my life today. I'm going to start acting like God loves me. I'm going to start a Bible study with my family. Whatever's on your heart, you're great either way. But if you want to be closer to God, he's already there. You're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. I'm so excited for what God's doing in this church. I'm excited for what God is doing in men in this church and in women and in families. And so as we close, this is what I want you to do, men. They're going to sing and service is over. Go find your families because they're out there somewhere, probably misbehaving mine. Go find your families and give them a big hug. Tell them how much you love them because you know what it's like to love somebody even though they're driving 6 mile wheelies, right? You know what it's love to like to love someone even though they're not doing the right things. So go find your families. Tell them how much you love them. Families, give your dads a big hug and a kiss. And if you see somebody around that's a dad that might not have family here, give them a big hug and a kiss too. All right? God bless you. Have a great day. Happy Father's Day.